So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Not at the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just rest in a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going, you hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
coach.
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
I don't know if you've ever seen that movie or not, but I'm sure you have. But it's a very encouraging movie. One of my favorite scenes of all time is that scene. Tonight, for just a few minutes, I want us to talk about a great story. And we'll get to that clip here in a little bit. But before we do that, I'll tell you about... it was an outstanding case in a small western mining town. His name was Joe. And Joe was brought in on assault. He had assault charges against him. The state presented the weapons that he used. A huge telegraph pole, a dagger, a pair of shears, a saw, a gun, and a Civil War saber. The counsel for the defense produced weapons used by the alleged victim in order to defend himself. They produced a pitchfork, an axe, and an oversized shovel. After deliberating, the 12 men of the jury slowly marched back in from the room where they were at, where they had made the final decision. They all marched back in, took their seat, and the foreman stood and read the verdict. It read as this. He said, "We, the jury, would give $500 to have seen that fight." That's kind of how I feel about David and Goliath. A story that we're all familiar with, a story that we've heard in Vacation Bible School, we've heard growing up. I'm a huge, huge history buff. I love history, majored in history when I was in college. And if I could take a time machine and go back to different times and periods and see different historical events, without a doubt, going to that valley where David and Goliath fought that incredible fight where they showed off against each other would definitely be somewhere I would want to go. You know, when David and Goliath had that massive showdown that day, Goliath fell down and died. You know, we're all familiar with that. We all know that. But what we need to understand is that didn't take care of all the Goliaths in our life. Each and every single one of us have Goliaths that we face every day, giants that we face each and every day. There's a lot of them. There are a lot of Goliaths that we face in the morning, in the evening, at work, at school, every single day. And I think maybe the closest parallel we have is that one person that's in our life that we have to confront, that we have to deal with, maybe at work, maybe at school, maybe on the ball field, that just really gets under our skin and really bothers us. But I also think that Goliaths are more than just a person or somebody that we don't like or somebody that we can't stand. I think Goliaths is a combination of events that have spiraled out of control. I think about what happened to Job. In a span of just a few days, he lost his farm, his family, wealth, health, everything. Maybe your Goliath is a severe temptation that you face each and every day. It's hard to handle. You know, the Bible tells us over in Ephesians that we as Christians are to prepare ourselves for when the day of evil comes. You know, a Goliath could be maybe a financial burden, maybe an employment burden. It could be so many different things. Tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to take a glimpse into the life of David. And I guess you could say track his life a little bit and just briefly see what he did to overcome the Goliath in his life. But the fact of the matter is that one defeat of that one massive giant Goliath was not all the Goliaths that David faced in his life. We all know that. We all know that he faced many different things throughout his life, many struggles, many temptations, many horrible things, many horrible Goliaths that he faced and he was able to overcome. We could spend a whole entire, you know, month on just looking at all the things that David overcome, all the Goliaths. But tonight I want us to look at the Goliath, and I want us to focus on him and how David overcame that and how that reflects in our life. When you first read this story in Samuel chapter 1, verse 17, if you've got your Bibles, you want to flip over there, that's where we're going to kind of be for the majority of the night, 1 Samuel 17. You first read the story and introduced to this guy who's literally close to being 10 foot tall. I mean, that's crazy to think about that. I guess, you know, I don't really, as I was thinking about this and kind of preparing and trying to liken and think about somebody that was 10 foot tall, there was a couple of thoughts that, you know, popped up in my head. First, I don't know if you know, if you remember, I guess it would, my generation, the basketball player Yao Ming, he was extremely tall. But then I thought back a little bit more, a little bit late, a little bit earlier in my life, I guess, and thought back to something that we've probably, everybody in this room at one point has watched, maybe not, but has been, you know, for me, was something that was a part of my life as a child, and maybe for you too, maybe not, but professional wrestling has always been something that has intrigued me, and I remember growing up as a kid, absolutely loving it, watching it all the time, and I was probably 8 or 9, and it was a Friday morning, right before school, my dad comes in, you know, I'm getting ready, and he says, guess what? And I go, what? We're going to watch WrestleMania on Sunday night. I bought the pay-per-view, and I was so excited. And so, but the thing was, my mom and dad might have should have been in, here this morning to hear the lesson. My dad didn't tell my mom, and, you know, we went to church on Sunday night, and most pay-per-views were on Sunday night, so dad told mom, you know, we're not going to church, we're watching wrestling, and mom wasn't, was not really okay with that. She let us do it, but, you know, I remember he was there a little bit when I was a kid, but Andre the Giant, but then I really remember The Big Show, you know, two huge, massive wrestlers, you know, just, you can't even really imagine how big these guys are, you know, and they get into this wrestling ring, and sometimes it takes 2 or 3 men to defeat them, unless you're Hulk Hogan, of course, you know, these massive men. Could you imagine putting a child in that ring and letting the child wrestle? You know, the odds on the child would be, you know, definitely wouldn't put any money on the child winning. What about the odds on David fighting Goliath? What about the odds you give yourself every day on facing your giant, your Goliath, each and every day? Most of the time when we think about Goliath, we said a few minutes ago, it's a person that we may think of that makes our skin crawl every time we see him. But you see, our Goliaths don't necessarily have to be a person. Our Goliaths more than likely aren't in a physical form. More than likely, they're not something we necessarily can feel or touch. Maybe it's unemployment. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's abuse. Maybe it's your past. Maybe you worry about the future. It can be a number of things that paralyze you every day. But as long as your Goliath is part of your life, it's going to constantly be tugging at you, constantly be trying to break you down, trying to separate you constantly from God. David's Goliath and Israel's Goliath did the exact same thing. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 16, it says, for 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine giant or champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. Some versions say strutted, which I think is pretty interesting. I love that phrase. This 10-foot tall giant, 10-foot tall champion, comes in front of the Israelites and struts his stuff. You know, he gets up there and he flexes probably and, you know, is, you know, making these horrible jokes, probably saying, you know, you guys got nothing on me. Every single day, every morning, every evening. Does your Goliath do that same thing? You wake up, you're facing it, you go to bed, you're facing it, you get up the next day, you're facing it, when you get to work. You're facing it when you get home from work. Every single day. Maybe your Goliath causes you to be something that you don't want to be. Maybe your Goliath causes you to do things you don't want to do. Tonight, there's just two simple things from this text that help us deal with our Goliath. The first one is, which way are you running? Look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 48. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. That's crazy to me. So David is running towards Goliath. We have David and Goliath are about to have this battle, this fight. And David, this little guy, this little scrawny guy, is running towards Goliath, this massive giant. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you ran out to meet the Goliath in your life? We tend to shy away from facing our giants. We tend to shy away from facing the Goliath in our life. And it may be for different reasons. Maybe because we remember the past defeats. Maybe we've been defeated over and over and over. And that's why we shy away from them. We're tired of it. We're tired of being upset constantly. It may be because we're numb. And we don't want to deal with it anymore. All of the defeats have caused us to become numb. And we have no more feelings. So we fail to confront him or her or it. And because we fail to confront the situation, we continue to live in this pain. We continue to have this struggle. It's a lot like, I don't know if you remember when you were younger, that bully on the playground when you were a kid, and how persistent that bully was each and every day. Maybe they pushed you down. Maybe they called you names. Maybe they took your lunch money. And the only time that bully stopped was when? When you busted them right in the eyes, right? When you just reared back and just finally knocked them down or pushed them down and finally stood up to that bully. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not promoting violence by any means. But here's the deal. Jesus never said to turn the other cheek in a spiritual sense. Jesus never said to turn the cheek in a spiritual sense. You know, Jesus was very effective. If you think about Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us about the armor of God. We've heard that many, many times. We know about putting on the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. But there's only one weapon used as the offensive weapon. What is that? The sword of the Spirit. That's right. That is the Word of God. And sometimes when we're facing our problems, we're facing these giants, we're facing these Goliaths, we're battling, why don't we use that? Why do we forget about that? For some reason, I think for some reason we have this idea or this thought that the Bible doesn't deal with what I'm going through. The Bible doesn't help me with the issues that I face each and every day. I think we forget that about that. I think we forget that there's so many times in the Bible that the issues and things they were facing are the same things we're facing. You know, the Bible bowlers are studying Ecclesiastes, and Solomon, you know, just lays it all out there in Ecclesiastes. And one of the things he says is there's a time for everything. There's a season for everything. And then one other thing he says is there's nothing new under the sun. God has seen it all. God created us. God knows what we're going through. God sees us. So why do we not think that the Bible, where we see situations, we see people struggling and having these issues, why do we not think God will help us like he helped them? You know, James gives us some great advice in James chapter 4, verse 7. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. How powerful is that to know that God meets us where we're at? If we go near to God, God's going to meet us there. God wants to meet us there. We just have to be willing to meet him. You may say that, you know, who's responsible for this? Well, let me tell you, the devil is responsible and behind every single Goliath. He is the coward behind every single thing that we struggle with. Every single giant in our life, the devil is the one responsible. Why do we call the devil a coward? Because that's exactly what he is. He doesn't often come to us as his self. He comes to us through other people. He uses other situations. He uses our own weaknesses to confront us. James is telling us, God is telling us, listen Don't give in to him. Give it to God. Give your life over to God. Submit to God. That's what James is telling us in this chapter. What does it say you'll do? He says the devil will flee. The coward will go away. Just like that bully on the playground runs away crying and upset because you finally stood up to him. That's what the devil's going to do. When your giant walks into your life, what do you do? You say, oh man, here we go again. This temptation again. Might as well just give in to it. Are you submitting to God? Where has it gotten us when we confront our Goliath and try to do it on our own? It doesn't get us anywhere. It gets us in worse shape. So, when you face that Goliath, are you facing him and immediately submitting to God, going to prayer, saying, God, help me, asking God to intervene? You ask God to give you the courage to speak or control not to speak. Are you doing that? What if you called in, have you called in reinforcements? Have you tried calling in reinforcements? I think one of the coolest things about Netherland is the prayer line, the text line. And why can't, you know, are we doing that with the temptations and the glass in our life? Or is there somebody that you can reach out to or text and say, hey, please pray for me right now? They don't have to know exactly what's going on. They just know that they're going to stop right there where they're at and they're going to pray. Are you calling in the reinforcements? We need to have Christians in our life that can we can call and say, pray for me. Or we can text and say, pray for me. And right there it's going to happen. When it gets difficult, when the heartaches come, when the glass are confronting us from every angle, are you going to pick up the phone? Are you going to call somebody? Are you going to text somebody? Maybe addiction is a problem. Why not summon God to give you the strength to walk in to that counselor's office, to meet with that counselor, go to that group? We've got to reach out to God. That's what James 4 is saying. We've got to be willing to submit. One of the things that I talked about with our teens this morning, and I talk to them a lot about all the time, is we have a choice. We always have a choice. Life is about choices. Tomorrow when we walk back to school or back to our job and get back in the groove of the work week and the school week from the weekend, are we going to decide to make that choice to submit to God? Or am I just going to keep running from that giant? Am I going to keep running from the personal struggles, my personal Goliaths? Or am I going to submit to God and do what David did and run toward God? The famous poet, Tupac Shakur, once said, you never know how strong you can be until being strong is the only choice. What if that, instead of that, we said, you never know how strong you can be until realizing submitting to God is the only choice. I saw earlier in this week, I saw a quote that said, you can look at fear two ways. One is forget everything and run. The first one is forget everything and run. That's kind of what the armies of Saul had done for a long time when facing their Goliath. They ran. And the other portion of that quote was, or you can face everything and rise. So the first portion of that quote was, you can look at fear two ways. One is forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. That's exactly what David did. In this section of Scripture that we've been in tonight, we see that David had a completely different focus than the other Israelites. Completely focused in a different way. And that leads us to our next point. We have to have a different focus. We need to have a clear focus. So first we've got to run towards our Goliath, submit to God, run towards God, knowing God is going to meet us where we're at. And the next thing is we have to do is we have to focus. David had a different focus than everyone else. When you go through life and your Goliath is there every day, do you focus on the Goliath or do you focus on your God? What do you focus on? 1 Samuel 17, 8 through 11, this is what happened. Just listen to this. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, we have you, come out to draw up for battle. Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. One translation for verse 11 says, they were terrified and lost all hope. Do you know why they lost hope? Do you know why they were terrified? Because for 40 days and 40 nights, all they were doing was focusing on a 10-foot-tall Goliath. But then here comes David, this skinny little kid, scrappy little kid. His brothers make fun of him when David asks about what's going on. They say, you know, where are those sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? Why are you not out there? Why are you even here? You're a little kid. In verse 26, this is what David said. Pretty crazy. David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Saul and his armies are focused on the giant Goliath, and David is focused on the living God. Do you see the difference? Look at verse 37. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and Lord be with you. And it doesn't stop there. David gets up to Goliath, okay? He's facing Goliath, and this is what he says to Goliath. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. The day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. I got news for you, folks. That is the way you talk to your Goliath, right there. David comes up to Goliath and says, look, God is going to take care of me. God is going to win this. I'm not going to win it. God's going to win it. See, David didn't go down there and try to reason with him. He didn't go down there and try to talk his way out of this and try to figure out some, you know, thing they could do to settle the conflict. No, he said, God's going to take care of me. This is all on God, and I trust God. My focus is not on you, Goliath. My focus is on God. And because that focus was on God, we all know what happens. I want to dig a little deeper. I think this is really interesting in this passage. If you pay close attention to how many times David mentions Goliath to how many times he mentions God, it's pretty crazy. If you look at verse 26 and verse 36, David mentions Goliath one time each. But then if you look at how many times he talks about God in this section, the final score is God 9 and Goliath 2. So let me ask you a question. Why does that even matter? What does that mean? Well, it matters. If you think about how David thought about God versus how many times he thought about Goliath, it means that he thought about God a lot, 4 more times than he thought about Goliath. Do we ponder God's grace four times as much as we ponder our guilt? Do we think about God's blessings 4 times as much as we express our complaints? Are we 4 times more likely to turn to God than to surrender to our Goliath? You have to ask yourself, what are you focusing on? Do you focus on your Goliath every day or the God who can deliver you? If you're going at it alone, you're going to fail. David didn't go at it alone. He remained focused on God and what happened. 1 Samuel 17, verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. A little scrappy kid, scrawny kid, with a really big God, took down one giant named Goliath. I've heard people doubt this story, that it's true. And when I think about that, I think about that, the illustration of the preacher, worship service has ended, and him and his son load up in the car, and they're headed home. And the preacher looks back to his son, and he says, "Son, what'd you learn in Bible school today? What'd you learn in Sunday school class?" And the little boy says, "Well, Dad, we learned about Jonah and the whale." And the little boy looked at the dad and said, "Dad, do you really believe that story? Do you really believe that that's true?" And the dad said, "Well, son, I do. I believe that God created man, and God created a fish, a whale. And if God could create both of those, then he obviously can create a fish big enough to swallow a man." And the little boy said, "Well, you would have to bring God into this." David brought God into it, right? That's how he overcame. Until we bring God in to face our giants, we're not going to overcome. We're not going to conquer. Can't focus on God if you're not in a relationship with Christ. We all know that, I think. If you're not in a relationship with Christ, you're always going to have giants, and you're never going to be able to conquer those. That Goliath is Satan, and he's winning if you're not in that relationship. Until you say, "I trust in Jesus," give your life to him. You've got to run towards God and focus on him. Until we do that, our Goliaths are always going to conquer us. Tonight, is your Goliath conquering you? Tonight, are those temptations, are those giants that you're facing each and every day, are they winning? Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you tired of battling them? Until we put our focus on God, until we submit, they're always going to win. So, question tonight. Are you going to submit to God? If we can help you in any way, if we can encourage you, if we can love on you, if we can pray with you, or maybe you're not in that relationship that you need to be in, if you want to do that tonight, there's no better time. If we can help you in any way, come right now as we stand and as we sing.